introduction. I'm watching the time. You don't have to. All right. But I just love these little two little words, little children. But the title of my message this morning is Be All You Can Be. Of course, we know the Army slogan, be all you can be, okay? And you understand the Army, when you go ahead and enlist in the Army, you understand there's going to be some warfare and there's going to be some problems and so forth and perhaps a fight or a war or a battle or what have you. But we too, as a child of God, need to understand that we face spiritual warfare. And we need to be all we can be. We ought to be the best that we possibly can for the Lord. And so this morning, I'm going to go ahead and talk to you about how to be the best that you can be than you, than he that is in the world. Is this cutting out, Brother Joe, or? Maybe, let's see here. That's on, right? Okay, we'll give it a shot here. Okay, and so quick points. And still kind of cutting out, but we'll just go ahead and roll along with it. Give you five quick points on how to be your best. How to be your best. I'm not talking about perfection. We're not going to be perfect this side of heaven, okay? But listen to me. That still shouldn't give us a reason to sin knowingly. Okay, just because we understand we're not perfect, so many people, well, I don't have my glorified body yet, so it just goes ahead and gives me a ticket to sin. Oh, no. That's far from the contrary, okay? But we ought to be striving. We ought to be our best for the Lord. You know, we're new creatures in Christ, the Bible says. You know, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, as Scripture teaches. So, you know, we ought to be child of God. We ought to be better than we were before we got saved. So let me just give you four G's, okay? That's my points, if you will. We'll begin with G. Number one, be genuine, okay? If we're going to be our best and be all that we can be for God, okay, we need to be genuine, all right? You know, let me say this. The facade is going to wear off eventually. You know, the real you eventually shine forth, all right? And I know we're still having a little trouble. Maybe I'll put it down a little bit lower there. I don't know. Maybe it's, but you know what? The real you will eventually shine forth, all right? And you know what? The Bible teaches, you know, in Ephesians chapter 4, I'll be turning to several scriptures this morning, but Ephesians chapter 4, I'll get to them and as best I can in the time that we have. But Ephesians chapter 4, so let's get there, Sean. All right, I have so many marked that, all right, Ephesians chapter 4, the Bible says in verse number 15, but speak may grow up up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, okay? You know, we need to be genuine. We need to, you know, that word genuine means real, okay? And again, you need to be aware, listen to me, you need to be aware that the real you will show up, okay? I mean, if you're in it, people will know that. You know, people can tell by your spirit. People will tell by your countenance and so forth. You know, that's why I said this. I asked this morning a couple different times. Do you love Jesus? And you all, I hope all of you responded, amen. Are you saved this morning? Amen. And you know what? You ought to be excited about that. But as a Christian, you ought to be real. You ought to be genuine. You ought to be honest, if you will. You know, there's too many hypocrisies today. There's too many people that are insincere. And eventually, listen to me, the hypocrisy and this insincerity will eventually shine forth. And what we need is to be the best that we can be. And we're still having trouble with this, amen? All right, I can even tell up here. We're doing just fine. Go ahead and turn this on. And I'm going to go to a cordless mic, and we're going to be just fine. The red one, very good. We're moving along. Okay, and we're in the Army for the Lord, okay? We need to be real. We need to be genuine. We shouldn't be hypocritical, if you will. We shouldn't be insincere. We shouldn't have a life that is a sham, you know? And by the way, God knows your heart. You know, God knows the real you. You know, and again, eventually, you can go ahead and show up with your big King James Bible, and you can even sing and so forth, but you know what? If it's not real, man, eventually, it's going to go ahead and show forth, all right? And I get it. Listen to me. I understand there's problems. I understand there's trials. I understand. I get all that, and I know that it is nearly impossible to be 100% on top side, this side of heaven. I understand all that, but you know, look at things in perspective. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You know, that does not change. You have the King James Bible. You can read read your Bible and get encouragement from the Word of God. You have a church that loves you. You have a preacher that loves you. You have a church family. On and on we can go with the blessings. But so often, if you're not careful, you look at the, we have a tendency to look at the negative. You know, and then and that's all we think about is the negatives and so forth. And then it causes us to lose our countenance. It causes us to not be real, if you will. We need to be sincere. We need to live a life that is real for God. We must be honest with God. You know, again, I say God knows your heart. You know, God knows if you're real here this morning. You know, and maybe you're here today, you can't even be close to being real because you don't know Jesus as Savior. That's where it begins. That's where real, genuine Christianity begins, is when you come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and you ask Christ to come into your heart and save you. But we need to be genuine people. We need to be honest with God. We need to be honest with ourselves. We need to be honest with others. Amen. You know, we ought not be telling lies with our tongue, Christian. Come on now, we need to get out of that. Well, I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do it because of, and sometimes it doesn't even turn out to be the reason. You know, let me tell you something. Again, God knows you. You can tell me. You can tell somebody else. You can tell why you know, you don't show up here or you don't go to work or whatever the case may be. I'm sick. You know, how many have told your boss a fib and you weren't sick? Christian, listen to me. You know what? God knows the real you. You know, come on now. And you know, and you know, eventually, let me tell you something. You keep lying to your boss because you can't show up because you're sick. Okay? You keep lying to your boss that way. Let me tell you something. You know what? Don't be surprised if you don't have a job at all. Because eventually it will shine forth. Eventually the real you, if you will go ahead and shine forth. Hey, you know what? We need to be genuine. We need to be real, if you will. The Bible says, let's go right on to number two. Be gracious. Well, you know what? We ought to be gracious. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. You know, it talks about some traits that we as Christians ought to portray, if you will. Romans chapter 12, verse number 9. Let love be without dissimulation. There it is, without hypocrisy. You know, that means when I go ahead and I come on down and I tell Marge, you know, I love you with a God-like love, you know, I ought to mean it. Amen? When we tell one another that we love each other, we ought to mean it. You know, so often, sometimes we go ahead and start lovey-dovey with people simply because we want something. You know what? And the love wasn't sincere at all. And God's telling God's people here, okay, in Romans here, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Hate it. You know, bottom line, that word abhor, you know what? We can go ahead. That's about the worst of the worst. That's about the negative of the negative as far as the word hate. God says hate it. You know, abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Go towards things. Grab a hold of things that are good. You know, grab a hold of them things that are right. And then verse number 10, be kindly, okay? This is the point I want to get to. Be kindly affectioned one of another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. You know what? We, as a child of God, if we're going to be our best for God, if we're going to be all that we can be for God, we need to be gracious. You know, some are just plain old not gracious. You know, some are just, you know, they're ungracious, if you will, to the less fortunate. And let me tell you something, God doesn't like that. You understand that Jesus, he died for all, amen? Doesn't matter who it is, the ground's level at the foot of the cross. It can be the poorest of the poor. It can be the richest of the rich. It can be in between, whatever the case may be. But you know what? Listen, child of God, and I'm talking to Christians right now. You know, we need to learn to be gracious to all, amen and amen. We need to learn to be gracious with each other in honor, preferring one another. I love that. You know that. You know what that means? What that means is putting others before you. Amen. You know what? You know, we sing the bus song, Jesus, how to have joy, Jesus, others. And then you know where we come? Right down to the very, very bottom, you. You know what? You know what? Other people ought to come before you. Husband, your wife, you want to have a good marriage, your wife ought to come before you. Amen. Wife, your husband ought to come before you. You know, and let me just stop and say this. You know what the divine order of the home is? God, mom and dad, and then children. You know, we live in a society that's all backwards. You know what? Maybe God is there, whatever, but the children come before mom and dad, spouse. That's not how what God intended it to be. Don't you misunderstand me. God loves little children. Jesus loves little. Don't you misunderstand. But God's divine order is God. You know, have God in focal point and have each other, mom and dad, husband and wife, and then the children. Amen. But anyways, but you know what? Love. You know what? We ought to be gracious. You know, be gracious with each other. You know, be gracious with each other in the church. You know, again, there ought to not be strife amongst us. And I don't know if there is, but there ought not be any strife amongst us. If there is, you know what? A brother needs to go to that one and get it right. Amen and amen. Someone offends you, the scripture teaches, go after it and take care of it and deal with it and leave loving one another. Amen and amen. You know, we could park there a while, but we need to be gracious with one another. You know, some are just so ungracious to the less fortunate. You know what? We bring in boys and girls every Sunday on the bus route. You know, and sometimes, you know, I haven't seen it here, but I have seen it through the years. I've been in the bus ministry for many, many years. I don't want to go ahead and age myself. I've been in the bus ministry many, many years. But you always sometimes have somebody in the church. I can't believe we bring them in. How sad that is. That is, by the way, you know what? That's poor Christianity at best. You know how sad that is. You know, I just can't, you know, we got, you know, they come in so prim and proper. You know, and, you know, I can't believe, oh, do you understand? You know what? Every single week I see pastor having to pick up all them envelopes. Yep. And I hear him, he tells them that, you know, don't take the envelopes out. Yep, but you know what? I'm going to count on me or a few ladies or whatever looking around that's helping me out, putting some envelopes and stuff back into the chairs. You know, pastor goes ahead and gives candy, and he tells them, eat the candy downstairs. But, yeah, I get it. And again, I'm not condoning disobedience. Don't misunderstand me. Don't you misunderstand me. But you know what? Kids like candy. Okay? I mean, you know what? And I understand. I get it. You know what? I'm none of your business how old I am. But you know what? Listen to me. I like candy. And some of you are saying, go ahead and say it. Whatever, thank you very much. I don't think I heard it at all. But anyways, but you know, I like candy. But you know what, bottom line, you know what? You tell a kid not to eat candy and wait till 10 minutes later. I mean, come on now. That's like taking away whatever. You know, it just doesn't necessarily happen. Yes, we do teach them to obey. I get it. I understand it. Okay, but oftentimes, just about every week, there's a few wrappers. Miss Susie, am I right? Few wrappers have to be picked up off the floor. But you know what? I don't have to go ahead and say, you know, hey, you pick up, you know. I don't need to go ahead and literally verbally beat them over the head or whatever. And you can't, you know. No, we got to be gracious. You know, don't be one of them. I just can't believe we bring them in. You know what? God loves them too. How many times you go down the street, maybe walking down the street, maybe out soul winning, and sometimes you might see a homeless person out there. You know, and sometimes, you know, the snooty side of humanity would say, you know, they could go ahead and get a job, and you know what? They probably could. Okay? I get up and I preach about working hard and so forth, and if you got that's weird, okay? If you do have four legs, that is really weird. I just see it if you're awake this morning, amen? You are, okay? But if you have two legs and operating arms and you can go ahead and move around pretty good, you know, you should be able to work, amen? But listen to me. But you know, but the time that you walk down the street, and maybe you're soul winning, passing out tracts or whatever, that's not the time to go ahead and kind of kick the guy or the gal in the side and say, why don't you go to work? It's not really the time to do that. You know what? And I get it, you know, but you know what's most important at that moment? Give him Jesus. You know, you go ahead and you give them Jesus, and boy, you know, the great change that comes as being a Christian, you know what? They might realize, hey, I need better character than I have. I need to go apply at McDonald's or whatever the case may be and go to work. But what I'm trying to say, you know what? As a Christian, we ought to be gracious, okay? We ought to be genuine. We ought to be the real deal, okay? But we also ought to be gracious. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You know, we ought to be thoughtful of each other. We ought to be kind to each other. We ought to be courteous to each other. We need to be understanding to each other. Amen. You know, whatever happened to kindness? So the other night I preached one simple little thought about Barnabas and how Paul, you know, Saul, if you will, when he first got saved and so on, when he first got saved, you know, it was almost like nobody cared. Everybody was scared of him. Obviously, you know, he persecuted Christians. But you know what? And even when he got to, he had to be let down by a basket. You know, the people, the Jews wanted to go ahead and kill him. And he had to be let down by a basket, escape to Jerusalem. When he got to Jerusalem, surely I'm going to be around God's people. They're going to love me. The disciples, the Bible says the disciples were fearful. But I love that verse, but Barnabas took him. But Barnabas took him. There was somebody named Barnabas. Of course, his name means encouragement or son of consolation. But, you know, there's somebody by the name of Barnabas said, you know what? I'm going to give him a shot. And, you know, he told the disciples and he calmed him down a little bit. Everything's all right. God's chosen this man as a vessel to go out and preach to the Jews and the Gentiles. Everything's going to be all right. But I thank God for a Barnabas that went ahead and went to Saul. I wonder, listen to me. You know, I wonder how many people have been discouraged because of us, because of you. You know what, and what I'm trying to say, you know what Saul needed at that time, yes, he committed a deep sin. Yes, he killed and he persecuted. He slaughtered people, and that was his desire and so forth. You know, but once he got saved, God went ahead and changed him. And you know what, I believe that in that was a pivotal time in his life. I believe he needed somebody that believed in him. You know what these bus kids need? They need somebody that'll believe in them. Yes, I know, you know, Brother Robles made mention before he started teaching this morning that, you know, the kids were a little bit rowdy this morning to a certain degree. He says, boy, we're in for a day downstairs in junior church. But I thank God there's a staff of people that believe in them. The staff of people right now that's teaching them little boys and girls, and maybe they are a little bit rowdy. I don't know what's going on down there, but I know they're having church. I know they're singing songs. I know they may play a game. I know they're going to get some preaching and teaching from the Word of God. And why? Because there's some people down there that believe in them. You know, we need to be gracious one to another. We also, number three, we're doing real well. I got five. We need to be generous. We need to be generous. The Bible says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Do you understand how much God has done for you? Do you understand that the Lord gave himself for you? For God so loved the world that he gave. You know what? Do you understand? That's a little four-letter word. But do you understand how enormous a meaning that particular word gave means right there? He gave. Don't misunderstand. None of us has given quite like God has. None of us has been willing to go ahead and take our only child, if you will, and sacrifice him on a cross. None of us has been willing to do that. But when you think of God, you know what? He gave. When you think of the Lord, he gave himself for us. He died on the cross for our sins. He gave all. What I'm trying to say, you know what? You know, he held nothing back. He held nothing back. And yet, you know, here we are, we're afraid to give, or we're afraid to give of ourselves, we're afraid of whatever the case may be, you know what? And when you go ahead and you look at things in perspective, that God, who loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you, he held nothing back. But yet when we give of our time, our tithe, or our talent, the Bible says in Malachi chapter 3, and I won't take time to turn to it. We know it very, very well. But Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, talks about bring your tithes to the storehouse. Yes, that talks about, you know, your tithes, your 10% of your income or what have you. The storehouses talk about the church. But you know what? Let me just stop and say this. There's other things that he desires to give. You know, some may be freely and ready and obedient to go ahead and give of their tithes. You know, and we are to be obedient and give of our tithe. We ought to take the top 10%. Scripture teaches that is obedient. And God says that when you go ahead and you obey him, he'll go ahead and take care of you. He'll take care of you. You know, it's a matter of faith. But you know what? There's other things that he demands of us. Our time and our talent. Not only do we go ahead and give of our tithe, but you know what? We ought to give our time and our talent to the church house as well. You know what? God has given you an ability, you know, the talent that you have. We heard some great singing today. Not me, but we heard some great singing today. The choir sang beautifully. Brother Nate sang, and my daughter Abby sang. We heard some great talent. And by the way, that is God-given ability. You know what? And you know, you might have some ability. And let me just stop and say this. You know, we're not up here for a performance, amen? We ought to be up here for Jesus. You know what? And if we get an amen from the crowd, praise the Lord, I don't mind a clap and even a wave of a hand once in a while and so forth, done right and so on. But listen to me. You know, it's not a performance. You know, they're doing it for Jesus Christ. They're doing it to be a blessing. If I ever find anybody up here because they want to perform, you know, I probably will say, you know, you may not want to have to, you better not sing here. Because we want every single ministry worker, leader, singer to sing and do it for Jesus. Amen and amen. But you know, but listen to me. You know what? But God's given you talent. It might be God's giving you hands to go ahead and build and work. It might be that God's given you brains or whatever to go ahead and think things, or whatever the case, teaching ability and preaching ability or whatever the case, you know what? And God demands, yes, he demands of our tithe, but he also wants your talent. You know what? God, listen to me, God gave it to you anyways. You know, and God can do a whole, listen to me, God can do a whole lot more with your talent than the world can. Amen. And you know what? You just need to take the talent that God gave you and get locked into your church and say, you know what? Whatever I can do, I want to take the talent that God gave me. I'll sing. I'll pray. I'll do whatever. I'll serve. Whatever the case may be, I want to take the talent that God gave me. Maybe you use it as your career and so forth, but also bring it to the church house and use it for God. But he also asks for your time. Talk about being generous. Well, I just don't have time. You know, listen to me. Well, how often I hear that. I just don't have time for Wednesday night service. I just don't have time for that ministry. I just don't have time for soul winning, whatever. Let me just stop and say this, man. I just say we can find a lot of time to do. We can find time to do a lot of things. I knew it was going to get quiet about this, but I'm not by myself right now. Jesus is with me. I'm all doing fine. But that is a true statement. Is it not? We find time to do a lot of things that really won't matter 5 minutes after rapture. Amen. If I get the amen, I'll amen myself, but it's true. I know. I like to do, and I'm not saying necessarily sinful things. You know, I like to watch a ball game. I like to do this and so forth, but let's not put it in the way of God. That's where it becomes a problem. Amen. Thank you for a little bit of chatter out there, but you know, I'm doing fine. The Holy Spirit's working just fine. But listen to me. We give him our tithe, we give him our tithe, but we need to give him our time as well. Yeah, it takes time to go tell somebody about Jesus, but how precious it is. You know, God looks down and says, thank you for going to tell. And by the way, all of us are commanded to do so. All of us are commanded to go tell somebody about Jesus. Doesn't matter who we are. And if we don't, it's disobeying. Okay, but listen to me. You know what? Our time, we need to be sensitive. We need to be generous with our time. We need to give him our time. We need to give him our talent, that ability. We need to go ahead and give him our tithe, talent, time, and so forth. There we go. Number four, moving right along. We need to be gallant. We need to be gallant. What's that word gallant means, brave? It means noble-minded. It means courageous. It means, you may have to break out of your shell a little bit. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 3, verse number 12, in whom we have boldness. And who do we have boldness? From God, okay? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. You know, courage is needed if we're going to be all that we can be for God. If we're going to be the best that we can be, you know, some courage or a lot of courage is needed. It should be accompanied, of course, with courtesy and with kindness. But you know what? We need to have courage. Christians need boldness to present the gospel. Yeah, I know it can be. You know what? You may not believe it because I'm up here preaching, but I really am an introvert of sorts. I mean that. I can go ahead and I could get in my pickup truck and just go for a ride and go set somewhere in the middle of the woods somewhere and be alone and just talk to God. I can and be happy. Now, I like being with people. Nice people, that is. But I like being with people. Seeing if you're awake. But I like being with people. Don't misunderstand. But you know what? And you know what? And I go soul winning every week. And let me tell you something. You know, sometimes there are some weeks it's not like this, but sometimes I got to really muster it up and say, okay. You know, and there are some doors that, you know, you can hear all kinds of stuff going on that, you know, I think I'll let the Lord deal with that one, and I'll just go to the next one because it's loud and noise and screaming and yelling or whatever the case may be. But they need Jesus. And you know, and them are the doors that you kind of, should I? You know, you kind of, you know, your blood starts flowing and, you know, the adrenaline starts flowing and, you know, I'm a little nervous and maybe you're shaking and coming to the door. You know what? We need courage to tell people about Jesus. You know, Acts chapter 4, I feel I need to turn to this. It's just kind of an afterthought. But Acts chapter 4, let me just give you kind of a background here. Of course, you know, Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 3, we see the first apostolic miracle, if you will. The lame man was healed. And then in the middle of Acts chapter 3, you see Peter preaching his second sermon. Well, he came down in power in the first sermon. The day of Pentecost, thousands of people got saved and so forth. Now it's his second sermon. He's preaching away. And you know, again, people are convicted. People are like, wow, what is he preaching? You know, and so forth and so on. And then you see the persecution come. In verse number one of Acts chapter 4, and as they spake unto the people, now mind you, Peter's preaching now, okay? And boy, you know, their hearts are, you know, they're convicted and they're grieved, if you will. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them. Okay, here's Peter and his guys preaching and doing the work for the Lord. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Boy, what a revival was taking place. Boy, two chapters before, you know, the day of Pentecost, thousands of people got saved. The power of God fell. Here, the power of God fell again, and 5,000 men, that's not counting women and children here, 5,000 men, the Bible says, got saved. And then it came to pass. Now, here's Peter. You know, he comes before the Sanhedrin. They went ahead and took hold of him, and they bring him before the Sanhedrin like a court and so forth, and they asked him what he was doing and so forth and so on. We didn't like your speech, if you will. We didn't like your spiel. Verse number 7 of Acts chapter 4, and when they had set them in the midst, they asked him, by what power or by what name have ye done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. You doing all right, Sean? Good, okay. Verse number 12, neither, okay, you think about it now, he's preaching now. He's really just testifying about what God is doing and about the Lord, and he's filled with the Holy Spirit here, and he says, neither to is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You talk about boldness. Okay, and you know what? Peter stood up with courage. Didn't matter who he was talking to. He knew that he was going to present the gospel. He knew that he was going to go ahead and preach the gospel. You know what I'm saying? Is he was a gallant guy. You know, these apostles, they were gallant, if you will. They were brave. They were courageous. And what we need today is we need some of God's, we need all of God's people to stand up strong and be brave and go tell people about Jesus. You know, listen to me. The same God and the same Holy Spirit that Peter has, you have him. You know what? And because of his boldness, these men that he was speaking to, the priests and the rulers and elders and so forth, verse number 30, now when they saw the bold, they saw it. They saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but they marveled, the Bible says, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. You know, they knew there was something different about them men. Boy, you know what? Listen to me. When the world looks at you, what do they see? Who do they see? Boy, you know what? We ought to be shining. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Do they see a shining light for Jesus? Or do we have all this junk, if you will, in our lives that we know we've been taught since knee-high to a grasshopper, things that maybe we do week in and week out, and we know it's wrong, and what it's doing, it's smothering the light.
You know what? Peter and the apostles ought to stand as an example to us that it doesn't matter who you are with. People ought to see Jesus. They marveled that they had been with Jesus. They stood up with boldness. They just stood up and they just waxed eloquent, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, they just told them about Jesus. You know, and then they go ahead and they tell them, you know what, we're going to go. They had no reason to hold them. But they said, just don't go out and preach. Just don't do this anymore. And then I love what they say in verse number 20, for we cannot bespeak in the things that we have seen and heard. You know what Peter said? He says, you know what, you can let us go today, and tomorrow I'm going to be out there preaching again. And he goes back to the church, the church and so forth, and when they're released, and they just rejoice, and they just carrying on simply because of what Jesus has done. What I'm trying to say, listen to me, we need to be gallant. Stop this little, you know, I'm on the job site. You know, do people know that you know Jesus? Do you understand, listen to me, when you walk into your job and so forth, do you understand that you have the truth? You've been saved. You know, for sure you're on your way to heaven. Do you understand that you hold the truth that they need? And do you understand they may go ahead and laugh at you because you read your Bible at work. And by the way, that's a good thing. You know, last I knew it wasn't banned. I don't know if it is nowadays, but I used to bring my Bible to work, and on lunch I'd go ahead and read my Bible, and I didn't have to say a whole lot, but they knew that I was different. And that's not a bad thing. But what I'm trying to say, church, is we need to have boldness. We need to take a stand for God. We need to put on the whole armor of God. Let our light so shine. Does your light shine for Jesus? Are you willing to go ahead and take a stand and be courageous and be gallant, if you will, and be bold for Jesus when you go to work tomorrow? Do they know that you're different simply because you know Jesus? By the way, I'm not talking about weird. I'm not talking about that. You know, you can go to work, and I'm not saying blend in with the world to try, you know, and try to reach Jesus, reach people for Jesus by compromise. I'm not talking about that. But you know, you can go to the workplace, and you can stand. You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside you, but what is so sad, we're too scared, we're too timid or whatever, that we don't want to let them know, we don't want to bring our Bible, we don't want to pray before we eat at lunch. They're going to go ahead and look at me and laugh. Listen, let them laugh. Just let them laugh. You know what? Your testimony, believe it or not, will speak volumes to them. It may not right away, but you go ahead and you take a stand day in and day out, and I know it can be hard. You take a stand day in and day out. I'm going to live right. I'm going to live clean. I'm going to do right. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. And you know what? Let me tell you something. And you may not necessarily have to say a word, but they see, wow, that guy's consistent. But you know, he does love the Jesus he claims to have in his heart. But I know it takes courage. I know it takes boldness, if you will. Boy, we need some bold Christians today. Bible says in Proverbs 28, 1b, and I'll just go ahead and quote, the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, we are the righteous. We're saved. We need to be bold as a lion, and we need to stand strong and stand for right and preach and live for the Lord. When the world looks at you, what do they see? Do they see someone that, he or she goes to church, you know, on Sunday? They may even kind of look the part and act the part, but on Monday they kind of scratch their head and say, what in the world? And let me just stop and say this. Well, you know what? Judgment seat's going to be very, very, very sombering, I should say. Because when we should have taken a stand, but we go ahead on Monday and the rest of the week, we just kind of, I don't want to go ahead and kind of timid ourselves, and we kind of blend in with the music, and we kind of blend in with the world, and we kind of blend in with the dress, and we kind of blend in, and we just kind of, you know what? And maybe you say things, maybe your words aren't godly, maybe you say words that you know you shouldn't say. And if they have any idea that you spent your day in church on Sunday, maybe even worked a ministry, and then they see you act like that, let me tell you something. It'd be very difficult for them to go ahead and want to know the Savior whom you claim to know. be very, very difficult. And the truth of the matter is, we're supposed to let our light so shine. Hiding under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Let him mock. Let him say whatever. Let him do whatever. But I'm going to let it shine for Jesus. Well, we need courage today. You know, like I said, I think the judgment seat is going to be very... It's not going to be this happy, yeah, you know, I'm going to be in heaven soon, you know, and what? No, it's not going to be. There's going to be people, I believe this. I don't know. You may not agree with me, but let me just tell you what I believe, and you can correct me later in a very Christian, godly way, but I do think we're going to see people that we had an opportunity to win at the judgment seat. But because of our lack of testimony, our lack of whatever, they're going to go to hell. They're going to die and go to hell. They're going to be summons to hell forever simply because we didn't go ahead and raise the standard and go ahead and tell the truth that we have. And I don't know, but could it be that as they see you, I worked with you, and you didn't tell me. You didn't even act like it. You didn't tell me. And then, you know, Jesus, God says, depart from me, you work of iniquity. I never knew you. And they're cast to the lake of fire forever. Christians, what we need, some boldness. We need some courage. Listen, you look at what's going on in this world. Jesus is coming. I mean, you just look at it. Things are lining up, buddy and budette. Things are lining up. I don't know when. No one knows when, but he's coming. Church, we need to get busy. Church, we need to get busy telling people about Jesus. Church, we need to be busy being faithful and being obedient to the things of God. Church, we just need to go ahead and keep rising up and holding up the standard and keep on being courageous and put on the whole armor of God. We just need to keep going forward for the Lord, because Jesus is coming one of these days. I believe it's very soon. And then number five, and I'm done, we need to be grateful. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Psalms 100, I'll read another verse here. I'll be done in just a second, but chapter 100, verse number 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Bless the Lord, Psalm 103:1. O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Hey, what I'm saying today, church, you know what? We need to be a grateful people. You know what? There's nothing. By the way, I read commands there. You know, we're to be thankful unto him and bless his name. Bless the Lord. You know, that's a command. He's saying, bless the Lord. You know, praise the Lord. Be grateful unto the Lord. Thank God. And you know what? And it's hurting us. You know, I think it's a terrible sin when you look at it. We're just an ungrateful people. I love the two words, thank you. I love it. I've often said, I don't need a whole lot. You want to give me a gift, fine, but you know what? But that's fine. But you know what? I simply just love the word preacher, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, and if I love it, you know, I wonder how much God loves it. When he goes ahead and he supplies your need and he goes ahead and gives you food and raiment, the Bible says be content with that, by the way. So often we're not content with things, and you know what? But he says, you know, I'll go ahead and I'll take care of you. You know how I'll take care of you? I'll give you food. I'll give you raiment. You know, I'll supply all your needs according to my riches, the Bible says. You know, and let me just stop and say this. I heard it this morning. You know what? Anything over and above the food and raiment thing, it's a bonus. You know what? I like it. You know, don't misunderstand. You know, I got food, too much of it sometimes. I got raiment. Clothes. Bible says be content with what you have. You know what? He says he'll take care of all my needs, not necessarily my wants. But you know what? Let me just stop and say this over and over and over again. You know, as I'm obedient, as I'm faithful in my giving and my tithe and my talent and treasure and all kinds of different things, as I'm faithful and I see him go ahead and provide my needs, boy, can I just stop and say this? All through my life, I've seen bonuses. I've seen a lot of bonuses. You know what? I owned a house in Maine. I've owned different cars. I've had different things. You know, I've had a lot of bonuses. You know, God has been good. You know, and no, I don't necessarily live high off the hog. I'm not a rich man. I am a rich man, spiritually speaking. But listen to me. What I'm trying to say, church, we need to be grateful. I don't like that. You know, keys again. Oh, you know, I grew up on a dairy farm. And we had some form of potato, always. I mean, I would go ahead and say, I'd make comments like this, potato again. My dad would say, yep, eat it. Stop complaining. Okay, I still love potato, but boy, you know, when I was a kid, peas, carrots, broccoli, yeah, I don't know why. Mushrooms? Come on, really? I mean, come on now. There's something, you know. Anyway, fungus? Anyways, whatever. But listen. Food, be thankful. Well, my clothes are not name brand. So what? You got clothes? Well, I don't. Brothers, Mrs. So-and-so, or my neighbors, they got a brand new car. And I have to drive the old jalopy. Praise the Lord, you got a car. You know what? And let me just stop and say, with that kind of attitude, if I were God, boy, God's, if I were God, I don't know whether I'd keep that jalopy running with that kind of attitude. You know, and maybe you have so many troubles like that and problems. You know what? Maybe there's always more month than money. There's always this and that simply because we're not faithful. We're not obedient. We're not grateful. You know what? And God says, okay, you want to be that way? Figure it out, buddy or buddette. You know what? It's a terrible sin that's creeped into the church, ungratefulness. In the last days, it gives a list. Perilous times shall come. And I think in the middle of that list, and you can check it out later and kindly respond to me later, but I think in the middle of that list, it says unthankful. I'm almost sure. I just don't have time to turn to it. But, you know, in 2 Timothy, where it says, perilous times shall come, and, you know, these are the signs, if you will, and it's got a whole list of things. And in the middle of that list, unthankful. He just sobs it. We live in an unthankful generation. Unthankful generation. It's amazing. You know, kids, your mom and dad, you know, they sweat and they work hard. They do whatever to provide for you. You know what? Instead of you fussing about it, you know what? You need to say, thank you. Let me tell you something. You want to go ahead and be ungrateful. You know what? Them kind of blessings can soon stop. They can stop that anytime. You want to be unthankful? Go get it yourself. Listen to me. We need to be grateful. Look around. God is awesome. Well, you know, I love the season that's coming, fall. I love it. My favorite time of the year. I've said it many, 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 many times. I love it. The season that comes after it, well, anyways, but I love the fall. And I was drove up to Maine the other day, and as I drove up to Maine and so forth, I saw the colors start coming in. I was thinking to myself, boy, them are beautiful. I said, boy, about a month or so time, maybe about the end of October, September 1st of October will be peak. The reds and the greens and just going to be yellows and just going to be beautiful. You know what? You know what you ought to say when God goes ahead and shows you his handiwork? God, thank you. God, thank you for my job. Amen. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my church. Thank you for my mom and dad. Thank you for my preacher. Thank you for my children. You know what happens? What's sad is we become thankful when it's too late. Your mom and dad, if nature takes its course, your mom and dad, they go before you, they'll lay in a casket up in the church somewhere. I've seen this time and time and time again, how children, they go to that dead corpse, if you will, and say, "Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry. I wasn't gracious. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." I'll end with this illustration. Story was told of a young lady. She just got her license. Just got her license. I say that. My daughter just got her license just the other day. This is not her, okay? So I just figure I better. But she got her license. She graduated from high school right around that same time, and her mom and dad bought her a brand new car for graduation. And boy, what a gift when you think about it. But got a brand new car. But you know what? The story's told that, you know, through the teen years, there was rebellion. You know, there was friction in the home, but the mom and dad loved this daughter so much, they bought her a brand new car. Of course, daughter was living in the home, getting ready to go off to school and do things there in the fall, but this was around summertime, and the mom went ahead, and in the blind spot, the car was there. And she went ahead, and again, this is ironic. Brittany, this is not you. This is not you. But went ahead and hit the back fender and dented the back fender. It was nothing life-shattering. Nobody got hurt. This young lady came out, and all she could do was just rant and rave at her mom and just tell her off and, you know, just rant and rave. Nothing gracious was said. Nothing like, "Man, everybody's okay. Mom, are you okay?" Nothing. She just ranted and raved. A week later, of course, it was very, very much friction. Within that week or so, that daughter just moved out. Didn't talk to her mom. A week later, the daughter got news that her mom had a serious car accident and went into eternity. The daughter went to the funeral. The corpse was there. And the daughter, during the service, went forward and just, "Mom, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry, Mom, I'm sorry." The last recollection, the last words that daughter had to Mama was not, "Mom, I love you. Thank you for the car. Thank you for all you let you. Thank you, thank you, thank you." The last words were her telling her mama off. Ungrateful. You got to think about that, children. You got to think about that. If you got your mom and dad still, you got to think about that. But ungrateful. Listen, if we're going to be our best for God, and you know what, old things, we're to be new creatures, the Bible says. He established our goings. He set a new path for us. He made a new path for us, a new direction. Then we need to be genuine. If we're going to be our best, we need to be gracious. We need to be generous. We need to be gallant. And we need to be a grateful people. Christian, when the world looks at you, who do they see? Maybe here today you say, "Pastor, I can't have any of them traits. I know that where them traits begin is knowing Jesus as my personal Savior." Maybe here today you say, "Preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved." If you're here today, the Bible says, God's word says, not a religion, but it's a relationship through Jesus. The Bible says that you need to have a relationship through Jesus. Understand you're a sinner. Understand there's a price on sin. Understand that Jesus paid the price, and ask Jesus to come into your heart, save you, forgive you of your sins. And the Bible says you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven. You can be saved. Maybe here today, you can't even have them qualities simply because you don't know Jesus as Savior. If you're here today, I encourage you, won't you come and know him?